The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
1 Peter 3:12. I think Peter may be remembering this event that happened in his life in Acts chapter 12. For 1 Peter, he wrote to those to whom he's writing his letter and said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto the prayers, but the face of the Lord is against those that do evil." With those words in mind, we turn to Acts chapter 12, and we read a miraculous account of God answering prayer. Beginning with verse 1, it said, "Now at that time Herod, the king, laid hands on some who belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was in the days of the unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him," one translation says, "was made without ceasing." Another translation says, "was made fervently by the church." And on the very night when Herod was brought up to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the guards in front of the doors were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and struck Peter's side, and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly," and the chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and he did not know what it was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And when he had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened for them by itself. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." When he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked on the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer, and when she recognized Peter's voice, because of the joy, she did not open the gate, but ran and announced that Peter was standing at the front of the gate. And they said to her, "Are you out of your mind?" But she kept insisting that it was so, and so they kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to him with their hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of the prison. And he said, "Report these things to James and the brethren," and he left and went into another place. Now when day came, there was a small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have come of Peter. And when Herod had searched for him and not found him, he examined the guards and ordered that they be led away to execution. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. Now there was a very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, and with one accord they came to him, and having won over Balthus, the king's chamberlain, and they were asking for peace because their country was fed by the king's country. And on the appointed day, Herod, having put on his royal apparel, took his seat on the throne or the podium and began delivering an address to them. And the people kept crying out, "The voice of God and not of a man." And immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give God glory, and he was eaten by worms and died. But the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their mission, taking along with them John, who was also called Mark. Father, open our hearts and our minds today to know that indeed you are in control, and that we can trust you in every circumstance in our lives. In Jesus' name. Imagine waking up to a miracle and having an angel as an alarm clock. Ultimately, that's what's taking place here. That's what happened to Peter. He was in prison. So far in the book of Acts, he's in prison for the third time, simply because he was an apostle and was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. This time, the occasion looked bad. It looked as if there was no hope whatsoever was going to have to take place. He was facing death. He was chained between two soldiers. There was two more soldiers standing at the guard outside his prison cell. And they changed guards every so often. So there were 16 different soldiers every day so that they did not become tired or discouraged. And, you know, as they changed shifts. And it looked as if the situation was hopeless. Now, Peter, I think, may have had this experience in mind when he wrote the words we read a moment ago from his letter. It said, "For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." That's a quote from Psalm 34. And as Peter was writing his letter, he quoted that. You can make application of that today. Peter and the early church learned some great lessons through this event. Lessons that I believe with all of my heart are still valid for us today and still just as true for us today. And the first of those great lessons is this: the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. See, God always knows what we're going through. On Wednesday nights, we've been looking at the names of God as a devotional time in our prayer meeting time. And we have seen that God, you know, the people of Israel would often give God a new name or would describe his character. And one of the things that, you know, always keeps coming back up is that God was a God who sees and God is a God who knows. Last week we looked at the Lord is our shepherd, which basically means Yahweh sees. He cares for us. He guides us. He feeds us. He, you know, gives us peace and brings all kinds of things into our life. The Lord knows what is going on in our lives. He is there. Now, you look at this story, and some had wondered if God had taken note of what the situation was. It looked like a hopeless situation. The church was desperate. You know, Herod was an evil man. He, you know, the whole, you know, this was Herod Agrippa I. And he was a man who was concerned of nothing but about his ambitions and the power. His grandfather was Herod the Great, who killed all the babies when Jesus was born. His uncle was Herod Antipas, who beheaded John the Baptist. Now he's in control, and Herod Agrippa I, and later, if you look at history, he drowned, you know, his own son because he was afraid his son was going to overthrow him from the throne. And you look from some of these other, he was a very evil man, but he was looking in order to gain favor. See, the Jews and the Jewish leaders and the Jewish nation hated the Roman Empire. They hated Herod and all the things that was there. So Herod was looking for some kind of a way to appease those Jewish leaders and the Jewish nation. And he knew that there was a great persecution coming from the Jews towards the Christians. So he started arresting some Christians, putting them in jail. You know, he took the Apostle James, and he had him arrested and had him put to death by the sword, undoubtedly beheaded, you know, along with some other people that he had arrested. And it pleased the Jews that James and the apostle was no longer there. And so in order to gain further favor, he had Peter arrested as well and put him in jail. Surrounded him by the guards and made sure that there was enough guards to take care of him. He could not escape. He was in chains, locked up, two guards chained to him, two standing at the door. And it seemed like it was a hopeless situation. Folks, I'm telling you, there are times in our lives when it looks as if our situation is hopeless and we don't know what we're going to do nor where we're going to turn. All of us have faced those times in our lives. Are we in those times now? Are we going to face some of those times? Because it's the kind of world we live in. Our world is a world that has been ruined by sin. And the consequences of sin is that it rains on the just and the unjust. There is good and bad that happens to both. And we live in a world that's been ruined. And so at some point, we're going to face some tragedy, some heartache, some difficult things that left to ourselves, we don't know what we're going to do. We're almost to the point of desperation, and we wonder what's going to happen. But in those times, we need to remember that our God has not forgotten us. He still sees and he still knows. Peter says the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. So what are you going through in your life? Some of you, I know some of the things that are happening. Some of you face some very difficult situations. Some of you, I don't have any idea because you keep those things to yourself and, and you know, within sight. But God knows, and you know. What are you going through? What are you facing? You know, what difficulty are you enduring in your own heart, in your own life right now? Well, the first lesson we need to learn is that God has not forgotten us. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. Someone says, well, if that's true, preacher, and it is true, but if that's true, preacher, then why didn't he do something? Why didn't something happen? That brings us to the second lesson we need to learn today, and I think the early church learned. And that is basically this. Our God is a sovereign God. He's in control of all the circumstances. Why did God allow James to be beheaded and killed and then turn right around behind that and miraculously delivered Peter from the same fate? Both were dedicated servants of God. Both of them were apostles. Both of them have been faithful to God, serving him in that community and standing out as witnesses for Christ. So the only answer to that is that God is a sovereign God, and he chooses to operate in ways that we can't understand or know in our lives. God is in control. I've shared before that when I was in high school, my mother had cancer, and it was 50 years. We had a 50-year reunion. I didn't go, but we had a 50-year reunion yesterday, so it was 54 years ago. My mother got cancer. She suffered horribly during those 4 years, and I have a brother today that every time I try to talk to him, he's 10 years older than me, but every time I try to talk to him about the Lord, he says, well, why did God let mother suffer like that? And it's a choice he makes to turn his back on God and not trust God because he doesn't understand all the things that happen. I can't answer his question. Why did God allow that to happen? Why did God allow James to be killed and Peter to be delivered? Why is it that sometimes people die of cancer and sometimes God miraculously heals them of cancer? Well, you know, or what other tragedy that God delivers us out of financial disaster sometimes, and then the next time we face the consequences of that. I'd be foolish to stand up here and say I have all of the answers. I don't have the answers. The only thing I can say is that our God is a sovereign God, and he's in control of all the circumstances that are going on within our lives, and he knows what is going to happen. The early church recognized that God was sovereign. In Acts chapter 4, you remember when Peter and John were arrested and thrown into jail to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. And they said, well, we're going to, you know, obey God rather than men. And finally they released them after punishing them and let them go. And they come back to the church and they share what happened at the church. And in Acts chapter 4, in verse 31, it said they begin to pray. And in verse 27, it says, go back to verse 24. When they heard this, they lifted their voices to God with one accord and said, O Lord, and that word Lord there means supreme master. It is different than some other translations of Lord in the scripture. It is supreme master. It is you who made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your father David, your servant, said, did not the Gentiles rage and the people devise futile things and the kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ? For truly in this city they were gathered together against our holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever your hand purposed, predestined to occur. Now, Lord, take note of their threats, and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with confidence, while you extend your hand to heal, with signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. If you read that prayer and understand it, this early church recognized that God was in control. Now, when Jesus came into the world and he ended up being arrested and crucified, that was the most devastating thing that happened to all the apostles. They were sure that Jesus was the Messiah. He was going to come. He was going to overthrow the Roman government. They had their preconceived ideas about what's happened. They did not understand what God was doing when Jesus went to the cross. It was only after the resurrection and the ascension of the Holy Spirit upon that church that they began to understand. And then they understood it. They came back to the church after facing the persecution and hard time. And they said, Lord, you're sovereign. We know that you had predetermined all of this ahead of time, and you're in control of the circumstances and the situation that is there. The eyes of the Lord are indeed upon the righteous. We may not understand what happens, why one time there's a miracle, another time there's not. But folks, I'll tell you something, we can still trust God because he is in control. And we also can know that because God is in control, the promise of the Scripture is that he always works good out of every circumstance and situation. Verse 24 of this chapter says that the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. That is a statement that we keep hearing over and over again in the book of Acts. In the midst of the storm, in the midst of the crisis, God is still at work. He hasn't forgotten us and he hasn't overlooked us. He's still in the midst of the work. And after the winds have died from the storm, we can see as we look back upon it what God is doing and many of the good things in which he's done. He's always working out his will to accomplish his purpose within this world. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that verse of Scripture well. It says, for we know that God causes all things to work to good together for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And then in verse 31 following it, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? And folks, our God is for us. In every circumstance, in every situation, he's not forgotten us. He is sovereign. He's in control. And he's working good out of all of the circumstances that are there. In the book of Acts, over and over again, we've seen it happen. As we've walked through this book on Sunday morning, Acts 3 and 4, the disciples were put, James and John were persecuted, and they come back and prayed to the Spirit. We read that prayer just a moment ago, but in chapter 31, it said God answered that prayer. How? By sending his Holy Spirit with a fresh anointing upon that church. And the place they were in was shaken, and then they were able to go out and to preach and to proclaim the word of God with boldness, and many hundreds of people were coming to Christ as a result of that. Acts chapter 5, there was a persecution inside of the church. And, the lives of Ananias and Sapphira was wrong, and they lied to the Holy Spirit. But God dealt with that, and as a result of him dealing with it, there was a great fear that came upon the church. And God continued to grow the church, and more people came to know the Lord as a result of that. In chapter 5, verse 33, beginning that story where Peter was arrested, again, you see the results of all of that was that when Peter got out of jail, he come back and the gospel continued, the church continued to grow. In the death of Stephen, the persecution began to intensify in the process, and God began to use that persecution not only, to save Paul, which became Paul, Saul, and he became Paul. And he also used it to scatter the church into the world to fulfill his commands that we were to go and preach the gospel in Judea and Samaria unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And he continued to advance the gospel. We saw in chapter 11 of Acts where that church at Antioch became the missionary church, and that Paul and Barnabas taught numbers of people. There was numbers of people being saved because the grace of God was upon them, and they taught multitudes of people who came in to the church. You see, God is at work to accomplish his purpose in this world. And sometimes he takes the tragedies and the trials and the things we face in life, and he allows us to go through those so that he can reach down into the midst of them and to advance his cause and to work good, to see God change lives and advance his gospel so that other people can come to know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Folks, God is at work. He hasn't forgotten us. When it's all said and done, in this chapter, God destroyed those who were opposed to the gospel, and he continued to spread his word to accomplish his purpose. We may not know what God's doing. We may not understand. But God is sovereign, and He is working His plan for good. And because we know these truths, we know that God sees our trials, we know that He is Lord, and we know that He's working for good, then growing out of that is another lesson that we need to grasp. There can be peace in the midst of the storm. Folks, when we trust God, there can be peace in the midst of the storm. You know, Peter was asleep soundly in his jail, to the point that the angel had to strike him on the side to wake him up. Now here he was facing death, knew that tomorrow God had, you know, Herod had said, I'm gonna bring Peter before me, and he's facing execution. Perhaps Peter remembered what Jesus had told him in John chapter 21, that there was going to come a day they were going to let him hand out and that he was going to die at the hands of the enemies, you know. And he was at peace because he knew somehow God was in control in the midst of that storm. I don't know what was going through Peter's mind, except that I just know that he didn't have any problem sleeping the night before he faced death. There was peace in the midst of the storm. Folks, I'm telling you, when we trust God and realize God's in control and realize that God is a good God working good in our hearts and our lives, we can have peace. Now, if we read through this passage of Scripture, we can't miss this truth. When all these things are at work, God still expects something of us. And I believe with all my heart that God expects us to continue to pray. What was going on in the church? The church was more upset than Peter was. But the church had gathered in homes around there. In a particular case, when Peter got out of jail, he went to the home of John Mark, knowing that his mother Mary was going to be there, and they were going to have a group of people that was praying for them. You know, and they were actually praying, it says, King James says, unceasingly, and there's others said he was praying fervently for him or with passion. You know, they were praying for him. That's always a pattern of the church. You see, God knows our needs, but He expects us to pray. Prayer is not so much getting our needs met as it is communicating with God. It is more than asking God for some things to enjoy in this world. It's an attitude of trust and surrender to the will of God. The more we pray, the more we become like God, and the more we come under His will and His ways, and the more we'll be able to advance His cause in the world. Now, I got up this morning and was going over my message early, and as I do most mornings, 99% of the mornings when I get up, I take Henry Blackaby's devotional guide, Experiencing God Day by Day, and I begin to read that devotional. This was the devotion for today on October the 2nd. It was based on a scripture in Acts, Luke chapter 3, where Jesus was baptized, and it said, while He was praying, heavens opened, the Holy Spirit descended as an appearance of a physical dove, and a voice came from heaven and said, you're my beloved son. Then Henry Blackaby writes, the greatest moments in the Christian life comes through prayer. When Jesus prayed, heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on Him. The Spirit came upon the disciples as they gathered to pray on Pentecost. When the disciples prayed together after Pentecost, their gathering place was shaken, and they were emboldened to proclaim the gospel throughout the city. Prayer is not a substitute for hard work. Prayer is the work. God does things in and through our lives by prayer that He does not do in any other way. As we pray and as our attention is turned towards God, we become more receptive to aligning our lives with His will. God will not equip us with His power while we're racing off to our next appointment. His Spirit will not empower us when we're oblivious to what He is saying. He requires our complete attention before He will fill us with His powerful presence of His Spirit. If you do not sense the Holy Spirit's power in your life, you may not be spending adequate time in prayer. Perhaps you're pursuing your own agenda rather than seeking the Father's will. You may have abandoned the place of prayer before God's answer came. If you'll commit yourself to spend sustained time in prayer, asking for God's kingdom on earth, God will work in your life just as he did in the life of Jesus and his disciples. A call to prayer. God expects us to pray. And I tell you, God answers prayers. There are many places in Scripture said if we'll pray and just believe and have faith, we'll see that answer come. But let me tell you something. God also answers our prayers when we are weak and our faith is weak. We don't believe. Peter came knocking on the door. Rhoda came to the door. The servant girl heard Peter's voice, recognized his voice. She was so excited she forgot to open the door, run back, tell everybody, hey, Peter's at the door. They said, oh, it can't be. Peter's got to be his ghost, got to be his spirit, his messenger. You know, his angel, his messenger who's come. It can't be him in the fist. See, the church was praying, and yet they didn't believe that God was going to do anything. How many times have we been that way? We get desperate in a situation. We don't know what's happening. We don't know what God's doing. And if we're not careful, we soon give up praying because we haven't had faith enough to believe that God would answer. But folks, I'm telling you, God hears our prayers. His eyes are open to the prayers of the righteous. And then be assured of this. A lot of people say, well, I still don't understand what's going on in our world. Why does all the bad stuff happen? Why does bad stuff happen to good people? You know, why do 1.5 million babies die every year in abortion in America? Why is third world countries, people are starving to death when there's adequate resources in our world to feed them? Why is there tragedies and floods that destroys people's lives and takes care of us? Why is there sickness and disease and trouble? Why does good people who try to live for God sometimes face such horrible circumstances and things going on in their life? Why does all these things happen? And as I already said, I don't have the answers. God does, and he's a good God, and we can trust him to work in the midst of those to perform good out of them. But be assured of this last lesson today. Judgment is coming. See, there is coming a day when God is going to right all wrongs. If God began to deal with all the things that are wrong within this world today, where would he stop? You see, he would have to deal with my heart and your heart, and he would have to bring all things under judgment. There is coming a day when that's going to happen. Judgment is going to come, and we can be assured that God keeps adequate records. Nothing gets by him. Everything is going on, every injustice, everything is wrong. God knows about it, and he's going to deal with it one day in and through Jesus Christ as he brings this world together in summation under Christ. And our hope is that we trust Christ no matter what's happening in our life, no matter what's going on in our life, that we turn everything over to him and surrender our wills and our lives to Jesus Christ, because all things are going to be summed up one day in Christ. The face of the Lord is against those who are evil. Now, in this particular case, God struck down Herod immediately. Judgment was swift and sure. Why? Because it fit God's purpose in advancing the gospel at that time. It sometimes seems that God is looking the other way. But folks, I'm assure you, judgment day is coming, and all those who oppose God, who stand against him, are going to face that judgment. The world is not all there is. God keeps adequate records, and he is controlled. But until then, the Church of Jesus Christ will continue to move triumphantly in this world. Nobody is going to stop the church. The very gates of hell can't prevail against his church. It may not happen to the local individual church, but nothing's going to stop the truth of God from being spread and the gospel of Jesus Christ continuing to advance. Ultimately, as a result of that judgment, verse 24 said, the word of the Lord continued to grow and to be multiplied. At the first of this chapter, it seemed like Herod was in control and the evil was going to control everything and the church's hand was tied and that we'd lost the battle. But at the end, Herod is dead and the church is very much alive and growing and reaching more people for Jesus Christ. See, God used the trials and the storms to draw us near to Him and to teach us to trust Him and to advance His cause. Alan Redpath says, let's keep our chins up and our knees down, but we're on the victory side. God's worthy to be trusted this morning. He always knows best. So we need to ask ourselves, what do we need to do? What does He want us to do? What area of our lives need to be surrendered? If we've never trusted Christ, the greatest need you have is to give your life to Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today that You are good and gracious God. There are many in this building today and really across our community and our world which are facing great difficulties and trials in their lives, and we don't often understand what You're doing, but we trust You this morning. We say we trust You this morning. Sometimes our faith is weak and we falter, but nevertheless we know in our hearts and the depths of our souls, because of our relationship with You, that You're in control, and we trust You. So we ask You to speak to us today about what we need to do. We ask You to draw us to a commitment to real prayer, because prayer will change us and bring us more into line with Your will, and that's what we want and desire, and we know that's what You desire. And Father, we pray that whatever else needs to happen in our lives, through the presence of Your Spirit, that we'll respond in obedience to Your leadership. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.